All right, today being the 18th day of January 2026, we're going to look at part number two of our lesson number six. We began this lesson last Sunday. It's entitled Controversy and Confrontation. And anywhere that you have the Word of God, there's going to be controversy. Not many people today want to believe the Word of God. But you know what? There are a lot of people that will believe, will listen. We had some new move-ins we were visiting this past week. Some of our folks were visiting some of the new move-ins and got to lead some of those folks to Christ. Just moved into the area. And man, it's always a blessing when you can get folks that's just moved here, introduce them to the church ministries and things like that here. But you know what? There are many folks that don't want to listen. And as it was in the days of Jesus, so it is in our day today. We're going to have controversy and there's going to be confrontation. But I want you to look at this today, beginning in John chapter number 5. Last week we looked at this and we looked at the controversy that was there in Jerusalem. We saw the miracle last week of the impotent man that was there at the pool of Bethesda. And we saw how that Jesus did a work that no one else could ever do. And he raised that man up and he told him, he said, I want you to rise up, I want you to walk, I want you to take your bed and go back home. And he did, and he did it what? On the Sabbath day. And because he did it on the Sabbath day, the Jews got mad at him. Now you know what? They should have been excited about a man that had been laying there for 38 years, not able to walk or do anything. And Jesus raises him up. But all they wanted to do was to be critical. And they wanted to raise up a controversy and have confrontation with him. So we got down to, in this chapter, chapter number 5, down to verse number 19 through 47. And here today we see the message that Jesus gives to these people. Now I want you to see this today. In these verses, Jesus goes on to explain his unity, his relationship with God the Father. And he does this in verses 19 through 24. And then he talks about his role as judge of all the people everywhere in verses 25 through 30. And then in verses 31 through 47, he explains his relationship to the very witnesses to his claims, okay? So I want us to look at some of this morning. First of all, let's look at Jesus' relationship with his Father. His relationship with his Father. I want you to look at John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 19. Verse number 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which he hath sent, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that hath sent me, hath everlasting life. And notice that's present tense, all right? It never changes. You have everlasting life. You know what? God is not what they used to refer to as being an Indian giver. He doesn't give it to you today and take it away from you tomorrow. He gives us everlasting life. How long is everlasting? It lasts forever. It's everlasting. And look at this. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, in declaring himself to be God, the Son of God here on earth, Jesus is trying to to help the people to see that his nature, his very being, his essence is proof that he is indeed God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. Do you remember what the angel told Joseph? His name should be called what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God in the flesh. If you go back to John chapter 1 just a moment, turn back there with me to John chapter number 1. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 14, and the Word, and we recognize the Word there being Jesus, all right? Talks about that in the first part of the chapter. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's our Savior. And Jesus declared that to them. And while here on this earth, Jesus demonstrated submission and obedience to God's perfect will for His life. You know what? God had a purpose and a plan for sending His Son. That purpose, that plan, was to make the way for you and for me to be birthed into the family of God and be born of God, to have that new birth that gives us eternal, everlasting life. And in so doing, He showed the people that He had the same authority over sin, over sickness, over disease, even as God the Father did. He had it right here on this earth. And you see, God's plan was for the people to honor His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as they proclaimed that they would honor God. So in verses 20 through 23, look at what the Bible said here. Jesus told him, He said, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. That ye may marvel. You're going to see these things and you're going to know that My Son is God in the flesh. That's what He's saying. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Boy, that's a bunch to understand and to take in, is it not? And you know what? Jesus was trying to teach the people here that all people have a duty to recognize who Jesus really is and to give Him the respect and the honor that He truly deserves. Just as they would give that same respect and honor unto God. Why? Because Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. Do you see that today? And John is trying to help us to see that. And basically what Jesus is saying here and what John is describing in this particular account of Christ is the simple fact that if people do not honor and respect Jesus, then they do not honor or respect God. The Jews claim to honor God. Oh, they claim to love the Lord God. They claimed it. They said in their deeds and their actions that they love God, but they would not recognize Jesus as God in the flesh. They knew who He was. Verse 24 goes on to show us that the way the people receive eternal life actually demonstrates the unity of God and the Father and the Son. Look at verse 24. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, without a doubt, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that hath sent Me hath everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now I want you to read something here that Paul wrote about that over in the book of Romans. Turn over to the book of Romans just a moment. Book of Romans chapter number 8 here, I believe it is. Romans chapter number 8. verse number 1. Romans 8, 1. And I want you to look at what Paul wrote about this. There are many people today that think, well, if I get saved tomorrow, if I do something wrong, if I get saved today and I do something wrong tomorrow, then I'm lost again. I'm condemned by God again. Listen, do you remember John 3:17? Everybody remembers John 3:16. But do you remember what John 3:17 said? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, there's no more condemnation. And what Paul said here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, your talk talks, and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay? Do you get that today? All right? I don't know if I can say that twice. Or not. But your walk talks, and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us here. Listen, if you know that you've accepted Christ as your own personal Savior, your walk is going to be different. You're not going to walk as you did before in the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the things of this old world. That's not what's going to please you. You're going to walk as the Spirit of God has you walk. You're going to walk in the Spirit, after the Spirit. And that makes folks to see and to know that what you have is really real. And folks, that's what our world needs to see today. It needs to see some Christians that are walking louder than they're talking. Amen? Their walk needs to be different. And what Jesus is telling them here, he said, listen, if you believe on me, you hear the word that my Father has given, and you believe on him that sent me, you've got everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because that sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? You know what? When he sees me now, you know what he sees? He sees the blood. Amen? He sees the blood of his dear Son that was shed for my sin. It has covered me. It has washed me. White as snow out here. Man, yesterday morning I took Precious out. And she did her business, all right? Today, the snow covered all of that business, and you didn't see any of it, amen? It's covered. It's gone, amen? Now listen, that's why you got to walk right, amen, all right? Don't walk where the other stuff is. Keep your walk right, all right? But I'm telling you, what we see here today, every limb was covered. Every little branch was covered this morning. Every little twig of grass was covered. And man, I was about to have a shouting spell this morning, man. Watching and looking at the snow and thinking, that's what God's done with my sin. It's all been covered. It's all been washed away. And now there is no more condemnation. Amen. I'm his little child. I'm a child of the King. I may not look like much to you, but man, I'm a child of the King. And guess what? If you know Christ is your Savior, you too are a child of the King. Amen? That makes you something special today. And that's why we need to walk in His Spirit. Walk the way He would want us to walk. Verse 24 talks about that here. And it says, we are passed from death unto life. I'm not dead in my trespasses and sins anymore. Amen? I'm walking in the newness of his life. So, what does all that mean, you may say? Preacher, what in the world does all that mean? Well, let me tell you what it really means. It simply means that whoever hears the message of the gospel and believes God's word, that God will save whosoever will come unto him. Whosoever. You know what? You're looking at a whosoever today. Amen? That's a big old word, but I'm a whosoever, and so are you if you've accepted Christ. He sent him, and he gives us present tense, eternal, everlasting life. it never changes. Amen? It will not change. So in essence, those who believe the Word of God, they believe the Father, and they accept the payment that God's Son has given for their sin, in so doing, they receive eternal, everlasting life. That is the gift of God. Do you remember Romans chapter number 6, verse 23? The first part of that verse paints a sad picture. It says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, what you and I deserve to get, the payment that we deserve for our sin is death, eternal separation from God. And boy, that's bad news. That's sad news. But the verse doesn't stop there. Amen? It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through going to church every Sunday. No. Through paying money to the little communion plate or whatever it is. No, that's not it. Through getting baptized. No. Through turning over a new leaf in your life. No. But we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know what? A gift is something somebody gives you, number one, because they love you. Amen? They love you. Man, my wife gave me a new flannel shirt for Christmas. She gave me a new flannel shirt for Christmas. She picked it out, and they went up. My sister and brother-in-law came up for Christmas, and they went up. We ate at Shady Maple. And they went out to that little store because they had coupons. Oh, thank God for coupons. Amen. Thank God for coupons. And that's how she got me that shirt. She got me a flannel shirt. You know why she got it? Because she loved me. Amen. Because I'm the best husband she's ever had. Amen. I tell her all the time, I'm the best looking husband you ever had. You know what? I'm the ugliest one she's ever had too. But she gave it to me because she loved me. And then she didn't stop there. You know what she did? When she got to checkout, she didn't steal it. Thank God, because I'd had to bail her out or something like that for stealing. But she paid for it in full. She didn't come out and give it to me and say, now, honey, I love you. Here's a shirt, but you're going to have to pay me for it, okay? She didn't do that. She paid for it in full. And guess what? It became mine. All I had to do to make it mine was be willing to receive it. And you know what? That's what salvation is. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the debt that we owed for our sin. And in so doing, He offered unto us His gift of eternal, everlasting life. And you know what? All we had to do was choose. We choose. Do we receive it and have eternal, everlasting life? Or do we reject it and say, oh, no, I'll do things my way. And when we die in our sin, forever separated from God because the debt was not covered. Boy, that'd be a sad day, would it not? And that's where the controversy lies today. People think, oh, I'm not going to believe that Jesus stuff. I'm not going to believe that. If I do that, then I'm going to have to quit smoking. I'm going to have to quit drinking. I'm going to have to quit cussing. I'm going to have to quit using drugs. I'm going to have to quit doing wrong and all this other stuff. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't have to do anything. He changed my heart, and I wanted to do different. Amen? He changed my wonder. Amen? And I don't want to do those things anymore. Listen, when I got married, I don't want to go and date around anymore. Dates are expensive, amen? Listen, I wouldn't do that, okay? Listen, she shoots too good, okay, to go and do stuff like that. She shoots too good. But I stay faithful to her. Why? Because of the wedding band? Nah. Because, you know, I could lose that thing out in the snow, shoveling or anything like that, slip off my finger, and it'd be gone. But I'm faithful to her because I love her. And you know what? We're faithful to God because we love Him, and we want to choose to serve Him. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, at the same time, those folks that refuse to believe the message of the gospel, they refuse to believe the message of the Son, they are, in all actuality, they are rejecting God the Father. They're rejecting God because God is the one that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was God who looked beyond my fault and he saw my need and he gave he paid the penalty for my sin. So when they reject God the Father, they reject God's gift of eternal life. They reject that which God has given unto them through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And two important facts are brought to light when we look at this. Two things are brought to light. Number one, first, if you believe the Father, you will accept his Son, the Lord Jesus. You know what? When I sat down and read that little New Testament they gave me, and it explained about salvation, I believed what God said in his word. And when I believed his word, I received his Son. It was by faith in my heart and my soul that I believed on him and received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But fact number two is this. It is impossible to believe and receive the one and not the other. Why? Because they are one. They are one. And you know what? Jesus is saying that that person that hears the message of the gospel from the Son of God and believes on the one who has sent him into this world has eternal life and shall never come into condemnation. Why? Because their sins have been forgiven. Why? Because they've been passed from death unto life. Amen? And that's what Christ did. Verily, verily, he said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath, present tense, never past, always present, hath everlasting life. You say, but preacher, you're sure taking a long time on that today. It's because I want you to understand this fact. Because when the devil tempts you, and sometimes we're tempted, and we feel like we've fallen, and we failed God, and we feel, man, we just feel bad. And the devil looks at us and says, see there, I told you, you weren't saved. You weren't saved. God's salvation is not eternal for you. We need to go back where we know the Word of God says, devil, you're a liar. And the Bible said here, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me, Jesus. What does he say they have? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but they're passed from death unto life. And you know what? Because of that, I know that when God's wrath falls upon this world, he takes his church out of here. Why does he take us out? Because we've not been saved unto wrath. We've been saved from the wrath to come through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not go through the tribulation period, okay? The time of Jacob's troubles. You and I that know Christ as our Savior, we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because we belong to him. And when he comes back in that second coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, all the armies of those who have trusted him as their Savior are coming with him. Now, where are we coming from? We're coming from heaven. How did we get there? He took us there. When he pulled us out, he gathered us home before he sent the wrath down. I saw the other day in Iran where they brought out all of their ambassadors and they brought out all of their people out of Iran. Why? Because there's some wrath that's going to come. There's some wrath that's coming on this IRGC group, okay? And they didn't want the U.S. didn't want their people there when the wrath came down. Now you think about that. If an ungodly world, we can see the picture of the gathering out, the rapturing out of the church, the born-again believers, if we can see that picture in the world around us, why can't we just believe the Word of God today? And that God is going to take care of His children. We're not going to go through that. Now, you know what? There's going to be some rough times. I believe this year, 2026, is going to be a rough time for folks who name the name of Christ. Because it's going to be a year of distinguishing. This is a year of distinguishing, I believe, with all my heart. And folks are going to be having to make a decision. Whose side of the fence are you on? You know what? When you straddle the fence, you're not on either side. And the only thing you get when you straddle the fence is splinters. Okay? And that hurts. You're miserable. And you know what? If you're going to live for God, then live for God. Listen, we've got no reason not to live for God. Why? Because we are on the winning side. And the devil knows that. And that's why he's trying to discourage folks. That's why he's trying to cause us to not trust the Word of God. Keep your heart in the Word, folks. Get in the Word and let the Word get in you. Now, I want you to look. Number two, I want you to see Jesus' role as judge of all the people. Look at it here in verses 25 through 30. Here we read these words. Jesus said again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." And here we see that Jesus has the right and he has the authority to judge righteously, because he is indeed the incarnate Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Amen. And he is the ultimate judge. And while salvation is not based, it's not based upon our works. Listen, let me ask you something. How much good works would you have to do to be able to get to heaven? Okay? Think about it a minute. We had somebody the other night said, "Oh, I'm good enough. I'm good enough." Well, how good would you have to be to go to heaven by your own good works and deeds? Let me remind you a minute. In heaven, there's no sin. There's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no suffering. None of those things are going to be there in heaven. It's a perfect place. So how good would you have to do to be in heaven and not mess it up? How good would you have to be? You'd have to be perfect, wouldn't you? Turn back with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5 just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, I want you to see this verse. And in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus told the people something here that, boy, the Pharisees and the scribes and all painted themselves to be perfect individuals. The perfect religious person. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And look what Jesus said. He said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness," now that word righteousness means your righteous acts, your righteous deeds, your righteous doings, okay? All your good works. "That except your righteousness shall exceed," what does it mean to exceed? It means to go beyond, be better than, be more than. "That except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Why? Because you'd have to be perfect. You'd have to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees were. And these people didn't think, boy, there's anybody any better than they were, because they were trying to keep all the laws. They were trying to dot every I and cross every T and do all these good works, and yet they still failed. Jesus said, you have to be better than that. So it's not by our works of righteousness that we're saved, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. Amen? And here, while salvation is not based upon our works after salvation do serve as evidence or proof of our salvation. Amen? Go over with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Many of you are familiar with these verses. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But have you ever read verse 10? Look what he said in verse 10. He said, for we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? Christ's workmanship. You ever heard that little song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Okay? You know that song? We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not because of good works, but we have been saved to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, the works of our salvation is proof of our salvation. We don't work to be saved for the Lord. I don't come in here and study and pray and clean up stuff and try to do things. I don't serve the Lord just to be saved. I serve Him because I am saved. Amen? And that's why we do what we do. That's why we come to Sunday school and learn more about His Word. That's why we come to preaching service. That's why all these folks get up before I finish teaching the class and get ready to go sing in the choir and practice the songs they're going to sing. That's why we run the buses on Sunday when it's not snowing, all right? To pick up folks and bring them to the house of God so they too can hear the Word of God. That's why we run Good Shepherds. Why? Because we've been saved and now we want others to know about it. And you know what? That's why we serve Him. Don't get the cart before the horse. Works does not save. And these people were confused about that. The scribes, the Pharisees, thought it was their goodness, their righteousness that's going to mount up to heaven and get them into heaven. And Jesus said, buddy, you're wrong. That's not the way it is. So Jesus then identified four witnesses that supported His claims. Not just three, okay? If you go back over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 19. You say, preacher, why do you go back to these Old Testament scriptures? Because that's what Jesus was quoting, was the Old Testament scriptures. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse number 15. And this is what God had told Moses and the people of Israel. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That was the law. That was what God said needed to be done. But Jesus now, here He identifies four witnesses. He goes beyond the law to prove who He is and what He is claiming is true. And look at it here with me. First was John the Baptist, all right? And Jesus proclaimed that in verses 33 through 35 there. We looked at that. He was the witness of the truth. He was the forerunner of the Savior. All right? Then next, Jesus described an even greater witness in verse 36. Look at verse 36. He said here in verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." The very works that he did, the miracles that he performed, proved who he was. But then thirdly, Jesus described how that God the Father served as a witness. Look at verses 37 and 38. "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." Boy, that was pretty strong language, was it not? But then look at the fourth witness. The fourth witness. You say, "Preacher, what other witness could there be?" Look at verses 39 and 40. "Because the Holy Scriptures themselves bear witness of whom Jesus is." Look at verse 39 and 40. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." You see, they made their choice. They made a choice. And then in verses 41 through 47, we see the simple facts as Jesus explains them. First of all, that though he, Jesus, was come from God, although he came from God, they had chosen not to honor him as God. Look at what he said. Verse 41, "I receive not honor from men." They knew who he was. They knew that he had made himself equal with God, as we read earlier, previous Sundays. They knew who he was, but they refused to accept him. Number two, they knew and they declared to Jesus knew and he declared to these Jewish leaders that they did not truly love God because they had rejected God, his son. That's verse 42. "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Well, you know what? That's what we see in the religious world a lot today, is it not? The love of God is not in them. They've got a profession. They got a clergy robe that they wear. They got a position, okay? When I go to the hospital, they ask me, "Are you clergy or are you Eucharist?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. Where do I sign?" Okay? Listen, I'm not looking for anything like that. I want to exalt my Savior. Third, Jesus knew that the only honor and praise that these Jewish leaders sought was the honor and praise of men. And we see that in verses 43 and 44. And in verses 45 through 47, Jesus told them that if they truly loved, honored, and respected Moses, then that they would truly honor, love, and respect Jesus because Moses wrote of Jesus in all of his writings. Amen? Now, I don't have time to go through all that today. But then we see this great controversy here in this chapter, chapter 5. But next Sunday when we come back, we're going to see the confrontation that begins in chapter number 6. And I hope you'll be here, all right? Let's pray just a minute. Father, Lord, I know our time has come and gone. My goodness, it goes so quickly. But Father, I pray, Lord, today that you will give strength to the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, Lord, and to show us, God, that you truly are the Savior of the world. Salvation comes by faith in Christ alone, not by our works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to your mercy that you saved us. And I pray, God, today that you'll help us to see that, to declare that, to walk in the Spirit of light. And Lord, help folks to see Christ in us. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach. I pray, God, that you'll bless him today. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.